The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied, saying, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. There's one thing I think I need to address up front. I don't think it's as big of a distraction as it was last night, but many of you may be able to see, may not be able to see, but I got something wrong with my eye. Last night it was almost half shut, and what happened was a few days ago I was walking with a parishioner on the campus here and I got jumped, got in a fight. It was brutal. It was with a yellow jacket. The yellow jacket one hit me right here. So my eye started to swell up a little bit. And naturally, when you get pegged real hard, it hurts. It hurts. So I didn't say a word that I'm very proud of at the moment. And the parishioner was like, so even us can kind of fall a little short of the glory of God. But then after that, it came to my heart. You were preaching last week to the people and talking about this spontaneous prayer. Disciple me, Lord. And so after the choice word, the right thing came to my heart after getting punched by that yellow jacket, which stung. My response to my heart was, disciple me, Lord. And in just that little brief spontaneous prayer that we can offer up in our week, for me, what came to my heart in that moment was thinking of Jesus and what it felt for him to have the crown of thorns crushed on his head, and just one of those thorns going right into his head, and how his eye must have swollen up, and how even though his eye was swollen up, as he was on that cross out of love for you and me, he was looking at us. He was loving at us. And he was asking us in the depths of our heart the same question he asked Bartimaeus in the gospel today. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And I didn't know at that moment that my eye would close through the night. And I woke up in the morning, it was totally closed. After I woke up at 1:30 and texted my doctor and said, what should I do? So my doctor took care of me. Don't worry. You don't need to come up at the end of the Mass and say, does it hurt? It doesn't hurt. It just itches and got a little swollen. But I woke up in the morning, it was all swollen, it was closed. And my first response was, disciple me, Lord, in this moment. Master, I want to see. I want to see. And not only that, it's going to be pretty humiliating to get up and have to preach with one eye. But I hope it's not at all a distraction, this, to your worship. To your worship. And if it helps you, as I was saying last night, it's not as big as it was last night, but to think of Jesus looking out at you with a busted eye on the cross, because when we come to worship, it's not just what's happening in the pew. What happened once in time when he went to that cross and died for us, we are mysteriously there in the Sacred Heart of Jesus as he looks out at the crowd, not just the ones that were there, but each and every person from all eternity, independent of whether or not they're believers or not. Jesus went to the cross for everybody. And so we talked about this last week. Our worship matters. Our worship matters. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. And when we come to worship, our worship matters for the salvation of souls, for the world. Our active participation in Mass, and thank you for singing, thank you for responding, because our worship matters. How much would we respond and how much would we engage in an active way if we knew that in some way, shape, or form, no matter what we had thrown at us this past week, no matter how we were stung, either physically or hurt or suffering, or even the joys we had, if we place all that on the altar in the presence of our Lord, if that brings consolation to His Sacred Heart as He hung on the cross for us, how much more would our worship matter? So that's what we talked about last week. As disciples of Jesus, disciple me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Coach me, Lord. As the first reading speaks about in Jeremiah, guide me. I will guide my people. I will lead my people. Lead me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way to be your disciple and to follow you on the way. Last night I was laying on the couch as it was swollen. I had ice pack there. And I was looking out of my one eye. And I witnessed the Atlanta Braves win the NLCS. 12:15 at night, Father Mike's sleeping. Yeah! Thank you, Lord, for my sight. And so we can even glorify God in moments of that, because knowing the coaches and all that stuff, and not to get sidetracked on that, but that was a great thing, because it's great to see that team grow through the adversity of the season and to grow in a way. And it's even better when you know the people and you know how they've grown and you've been texting them and you know who they are, especially the coaches. And so as disciples of the Lord, this week, the invitation is for you and for me, as Jesus looks at us and says, what can I do for you? To really dive deep and to see that investing time in our spiritual growth matters. Growth. Let's speak about growth. We're all familiar with growth. Those of us that are maybe a little older, we know what it's like to grow. We even know as we get older, start to feel a little more maybe the growing pains. I'm starting to pay a little more from all the times I jumped out of airplanes. You feel it in the knees and different things like that. The little ones, they're marking the sides of their door as they grow up to see how tall they're going to get. They want to grow. So physically, we want to grow. We eat organic food or good food to grow, so it helps us grow. Maybe it's almond milk. Maybe it's regular milk. All these things to help us to grow. We go to fitness centers and different things and all that stuff to take care of this temple of ours, which God has given us. Why? To grow. So physically, we have an understanding of physical growth. We have an understanding of intellectual growth. You parents pour out so much of your life. All the time you spend in carpool matters. It matters because you really care about the intellectual growth of your children. And not only that, those of us who are in particular careers, whether you're a doctor who has to stay up with the medical scene, if you're a lawyer, you're reading constantly like my dad was to stay up on different things. If you're a businessman or woman doing your trade, to go to those conferences, to have that ongoing formation, that intellectual growth is important. Even the growth in the things, the hobbies that we like, to learn how to garden, to grow in that. Father Mike and I like to cook on a green egg. He's better than me. To learn how to smoke some food, you know, to do something good, but to grow. And then the question is, where am I in my spiritual growth? Because our spiritual growth in life in Christ matters as disciples of the Lord. Look in the gospel of today. Master, I want to see. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus from the road, could not physically see, but he had the eyes of faith in his heart to hear the Lord, hear the stories, know that he was there. And he said, Master, I want to see. He desired in his heart the same desire we have. Disciple me, Lord. And when he said master, it wasn't the term master as in servant. If you go to the Greek of that, it's Mark's gospel, and Mark is supposedly the little boy that had the 5 loaves and 2 fish when they multiplied the fish, right? Supposedly, tradition says that was Mark. And Mark accompanied St. Peter because St. Peter's Greek was not that good. And Mark helped him write the book of the Gospel of Mark. And so literally the word in Greek is not master, it's rabboni. And rabboni means teacher. And rabboni not only means teacher, it means my teacher. So when Bartimaeus said, Master, I want to see, Bartimaeus in his heart, having never seen Jesus with his eyes, had made that ascent of faith, that desire to spiritually grow, that desire to follow Jesus along the way. And he said, my teacher, I identify myself with you, I want to see. And Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. And all over Mark's gospel, you'll find the word in Greek, immediately. When a miracle's done, he says, immediately. That means right off the bat, he got up and he followed him on what? The way. The way. When we read the Acts of the Apostles, the first followers of Jesus Christ were called the followers of the way. It's no coincidence that he said he got up immediately and followed him on the way. Later in Antioch, they were called Christians. And then later, we were called Catholics, which means universal. So to be disciples of the Lord is to be those who get up and follow Jesus on the way. Not only that, in the Old Testament, Moses, in the Old Testament, led the chosen people out of slavery to Pharaoh along the way. That would have meant something for the people of Jesus' time when they spoke about following Jesus on the way, because Jesus is the new Moses, leading the people of that time and this time to what? The promised land. From a slavery to sin into the green pastures of his promises that we will not fully experience in this life, but please God, forever in the next. I'm going to share with y'all really briefly 2 stories of my own experience of the need to spiritually grow. When I got out of the Army, I was 27 years old. And I was living right outside of New York City. I had a great job at 27, late 1990s, 6-figure job, great bonus as an IT project manager, then an IT account manager for a $1.6 billion company, and briefing the CEO of that company on board meetings. It was like a fast-tracking opportunity. And I used to sit down every week with a friend of mine who helped me get the job, who went to West Point from Long Island, and we would circle all the job opportunities down the road. I was pursuing that intellectual growth and that professional growth, going to all the project management seminars to get my proficiency in that, and I had the goal within 2 years of being out of the Army to set my own job offer for at least $250,000 in the late 1999 and to go down to Atlanta, Georgia and live with my family. That was my goal. And in 5 years, to be making $500,000. I was locked on to all that. And aggressively working on that. And also doing my best to live the faith. That was me intellectually at that moment, seeking that growth professionally. And not only that, I was looking for how I could get engaged socially and physically. And so physically what I started doing was Ironman triathlons. Ran the Boston Marathon, ran it under 3 hours, qualified. went to Hawaii for the Ironman triathlon with friends of mine, I was really pursuing that. Christmas came a year before I entered into the seminary, and I went down to visit my sister and her family. Got up early in the morning, went for my 2-mile swim in the pool, indoor pool, then got on my bike, rode for about 70 miles, and finished with a 6-mile run. Came back, had a bite to eat, and laid on the couch like that lazy uncle that I was. My niece and nephews running around all around me, want to play, but I have my workout. It's time to relax. I've been working hard. My sister, as she's so good at doing, my sister Marion came into the room, living in Bethesda, Maryland at the time, took a book, threw it on my chest, and said, "Do something with your life. Stop being so lazy." Book landed there. She called me out. She has no problem calling me out. I love my sister. Opened up the book. It was Scott Hahn's book, Rome Sweet Home. After 27 years of being a Catholic, cradle Catholic, it was an awakening for me. Sure, in my military duffel bag, I carried around my Bible. I had my catechism my dad gave me. They were great little displays on my bookshelf, but I never opened them. After reading Scott Hahn's book, Rome Sweet Home, the conversion, the reversion began in my life. And then through opening my heart to Jesus, he began to speak to me. I had a business trip out to Pittsburgh, and my cousin, who was studying to be a priest, now he's not a priest, he's a father of 6 children in Atlanta, Georgia. So I go to visit him, and I was thinking of the priesthood, but I was concealing it. I show up on the campus of Steubenville, and my cousin was in this seminary formation, and he comes walking out with a big old statue of Mary. And I'm like, weird, that is weird. And he goes, "Come on, cousin, we're gonna go pray the rosary." And I'm like, I'm out of here. But it was my cousin, so I went with him. But it was very balanced, because I went in there and there were about 40 guys in there, and they were all praying and they were offering up their prayers for each other. And then my cousin said to me, "Hey, tonight, it's Saturday, we're going to a festival of praise. It's called a FOP. It's really charismatic. There's going to be people doing all this stuff." And we grew up very traditional. Sound familiar? Traditional, charismatic, can't have both. Yes, you can. So I went there and I was a little nervous. And I'm like, man, this is uncomfortable. It's the arms crossed and all that, and I'm there. And then all of a sudden the song came. And my cousin said, "Pay attention. People are going to confession. People are adoring Jesus in the Eucharist. And they're going to be at Mass tomorrow." The song came. "Come Holy Spirit, set my heart on fire. Come Holy Spirit, set my heart on fire. Come." Anyways, I don't sing nearly as good as Aubrey. But anyways, it just went right into my heart, and it was conviction. I was like, I surrender. I surrender. If my cousin can pray the rosary every day, I can. If he can spend time praying every day, I can. If he can go to Mass, and I'm not saying you need to go to daily Mass, but I was thinking about the priesthood. And if I'm thinking about the priesthood, I should be going to Mass every day, because the Eucharist has got to be at the center of it. I got to open my heart to Jesus. I can go to Mass every day. And that day, I decided to go to Mass every day. And it was that encounter with Jesus that led me to say yes to the vocation, to the priesthood. The need to spiritually grow. How many ways are there to spiritually grow? As many ways as there are people in the world. There's not one way to do it. The invitation for you and me this weekend, every day of our life, is this weekend. Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" May our response be, "Disciple me, Lord. Disciple me, Lord. Master, Rabboni, teacher, I want to see. I want to see as you see. I want to grow spiritually." Let's make a commitment this week. Commitment to prayer. Commitment to look deep in our hearts, to look in the bulletin if it helps you. See all the things that we're trying to offer here at this parish. It's not a one size fits all. It's many sizes, many opportunities. But just in your heart, as you go to prayer, know that Jesus is not going to push the answers on you. He's going to ask you and ask me as he did then and does now. He's going to ask us questions. And as disciples, he wants us to respond and to follow him too on the way.